I've seen, my goodness, numerous miracles in our personal lives and in this ministry. I'm talking miracles. God doing great and mighty things. How many of you in here have been healed before? Look at the hands, right? See? So we're not just talking about, you know, Pastor Phillips' opinion. This is Easter, Resurrection Life Sunday, no matter what that fake president wants to make it. Hallelujah. But we understand this is when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Substitutionary work. I taught on that Friday, the five great exchanges. But today, I want to go into an area, and I believe your faith is going to accelerate for whatever it is you're needing in your life. And nothing is too difficult for the Lord. You know, I was just in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the miracles started popping. And there was a little boy, 12 years old, Jayan. His name is Jayan. And, hi, Abby. You ready to dance today? Yes, me and you. Me and you, girl. And so after the service, Pastor Philip took me back into his office, and he said, there's a young man out here that wants to share his testimony with you. He got healed when you were calling out those words of knowledge. He said, is that all right? I said, yeah, bring him in here. He comes in, 12 years old, cute as a button, and he was nervous. You know, he's coming in Pastor Philip's office and going to talk to another Pastor Philip. And he says, I was born not breathing right. And all my life, all 12 years, I've struggled to breathe. The doctors say it's a severe case of asthma. And I just know that I have never been able to breathe correctly. And Chad, one of the associates there, told me that every day I need to confess that I'm healed. And so ever since he told me that, every day I've been confessing that I'm the healed, and that Jesus would let me live one more day. Precious, isn't it? He said, when you call that out in the lungs, this is his words, everything got clean inside and left. Now, he was born that way. And he's like, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He's going to live a long time. And he's going to preach about that. See? There was another word of knowledge that popped. Said, somebody here, your right eye, you haven't been able to see correctly out of your right eye. God's healing that now. And this guy is only about from here to Deontay. And he comes up to me. He said, it's gone. I said, what? He said, I had a cataract, couldn't see out of my right eye. And as soon as you said that, it disappeared. Now I'm looking for some people in here that are believers, not doubters. Another lady, I said, there's someone here you're experiencing extreme heat in your stomach, and God's healing your stomach. And all of a sudden, she's about, you know, about as far back as Valerie number two. Valerie one, Valerie two. And all of a sudden, she starts crying. And she lifts her hand. She said, I feel it, that heat, just like what you said, going down my stomach. And all of that is gone. Come on, someone. So we're not here just, you know, out of formality. I'm looking for some people that want to, that maybe you've been confessing every day, over that ailment or whatever, right? Well, this is the day. I said, this is the day. Praise the Lord. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Not going to teach very long, because I know y'all got plans and so on and so forth. But let's get this plan lined out. You know, I thought this morning, I know who came up with crock pots. It was the Pentecostals. Methodists, they could just set their timer, you know, and they knew what time they going to get out. Pentecostals, you never know. So somebody said, we got to come up with something. Yeah.
Palace,
thank you. You would have to learn how to eat, stand, walk, sit, dress, everything. He said, you have been adopted into the most
royal family. And he wants to set people free today of a very bad sickness. That's a poverty mentality. It's an evil, evil disease.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's true. That's true. It's what I brought out Friday night, that lack will cause sickness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you for that. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let's put our eyes on verse number 1. We then, as workers together with him. All right, listen. We're going to work with God today. I'm going to work with God the best way I know how. And you work with God the best way you know how. You say, what do you mean? Faith without works is dead, right? So I need your believer on high alert, right? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, because they didn't mix faith with it. Don't be an observer. Be a participator, right? We're co-laborers with God. Now watch this. It says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. God has heard you. I've heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee, helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, a lot of times, you know what we do with this verse? We use it to lead people to the Lord. And rightly so, right? Because some people think they have to be in church to get saved. Or they have to, you know, have a pastor lead them to the Lord. Well, you can get saved in church and you can have a pastor lead you to the Lord, but, you know, I had neither one of that. I just cried out to the Lord 16 July 1988, and I was transformed in a moment of time. But that word, now is the day of salvation, that word salvation is soteria. Look what it means up on the screen. To rescue you, to bring you into safety, physically or morally, deliver health, salvation, saving. So this is more than just you getting born again. Right? Right? Okay. So, can you get saved anywhere, anytime? Huh? Right? So if you can get saved anywhere, anytime, then you can you get healed anywhere, anytime? Well, according to this, you can. And that's what we live our life by, what God's Word says. Now listen, I got family, friends that have left this planet early, that have died. And I've seen people that were believing for their healing. One lady in particular, the last words that she said, "By his stripes, I'm healed." And then just a few minutes later was gone. Well, if you're going to split heaven open, it's good to be splitting heaven open, saying I'm healed.
Yes,
you say, well, I'm not going to say I'm healed when I'm not. No. Listen, there's reasons why healings don't manifest. You don't ever know what somebody's life has been as far as what they're believing, where their faith level is, so on and so forth. You just don't know that. Jesus does, right? And he'll not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. So watch this now. You and I can get healed any place, any time. There we were going to a Carmen concert and in Rupp Arena. You remember Carmen? He's in heaven. He came here one time. And Brock and Nancy, they're in heaven, had invited us out to their country home there in Woodford County, way out in the sticks, and for a meal, and they could cook, boy, I'm telling you. And we were living at Mom and Dad's at the time, so we jumped in our smoking blazer, and we're headed there, and we're all excited. And all of a sudden, Mama Alberta said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." And I look over at her, and her arm starts to curl up. And fear just entered the blazer. And so I started rebuking that fear. And, all these voices hit my soul at the same time. You better turn around and rush her to the hospital. Well, I would have if that's what the Holy Ghost had said. But I looked at her and I laid my hand over on her. I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And as I laid my hand on her, she slips out of the seat and she's down on the floorboard. Now her other leg is all twisted up and her face is twisted up. But she never once stopped confessing the Word of God. And so it seemed like a long ride the rest of the way to Brock and Nancy's house. And when we got there, she's in the floorboard. She's all bent and twisted up. And I pulled up in front of their house, and I get out of the car. I went around, opened up the door, and there's my wife, all twisted, having a full-blown stroke. And Brock and Nancy came out, and they walked around. When they saw Alberta's condition, they freaked out. And I told them, I said, "Get back. Just pray." Because I wasn't standing for it. She wasn't standing for it. Now, if she'd have said, "Honey, get me some words," but she didn't. And we're in agreement, right? And they witnessed the healing power of God. And that arm straightened out. That face straightened out. That leg straightened out. And Alberta get up out of that blazer, totally healed by the power of God. Walked inside. We ate that meal. And an hour later, we're in Rupp Arena, and she's dancing while Carmen's putting on his car. Somebody give a praise to God. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve, see? And that's not a one-time good deal. That's what faith can do. See? And I'm expecting for you. For you. Now, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and let's put our eyes on verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, notice this, as he was teaching. This happened while he was teaching. That there were Pharisees, doctors of law, sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So you could read it this way. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. See, you don't have to have this heavy anointing. You don't have to have the preacher running back and forth under this preach anointing for the healing power to be there. Listen to me. Healing always comes. It is not always received. We've already established that you can get born again at any time. So salvation always comes. It's not always received. Follow this, because we're gonna get some answers this morning as we see this. And so I spent from about 3 o'clock yesterday to 9 o'clock last night praying in the Holy Ghost over this meeting. And then this morning from 2:30, I don't even remember what time I come to bed, over this meeting. Not praying over Mama Alberta and over this meeting. I'm expecting God, as I teach this morning, that the power of the Lord will be present to heal you in whatever ails you, right, on this Easter Sunday, on this resurrection life morning. Are you following what I'm saying? And I haven't got to my text yet, but we're going to get there. So you don't have to wait for me to lay hands on you later on to get healed. It could pop while, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody, you've been experiencing swelling. Swelling. Hallelujah. You're going to find that swelling leaving your body. Hallelujah. Before you leave today, that swelling going to be gone in Jesus' name. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in your stomach, if it's in your ankles. I don't know where it is, what's causing it. I don't know if it's in your gums. I don't know where the swelling is. But that's all I got right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's wrist is being healed. Somebody's wrist. You've had pain in your wrist. Glory be to God. Now listen. I ain't looking for you. You say, well, I believe I received that. I'm talking about that's happening. Are you following what I'm saying? We'll get to I believe I received that here in a minute. Right? Hallelujah. But those are words of knowledge. Those are things that God is doing right now. See? And whoever had the wrist problem, if you move your wrist around, you're going to find out that pain's gone. That restriction is gone. And those, whoever had that swelling, I don't know if you can check yourself right now or not. But when that word comes like that, it's not what God wants to do unless it's the working of miracles. Then I call that individual up. Are you following what I'm saying? But when it just happens and God's doing it at the same time, then that's what happens. Are you following? The power of the Lord present to heal. Okay. Let's go here now to our text, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Look at this in verse number 46. John 4:46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Now watch this. For he was at the point of death. He's about ready to die. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now listen to me. Faith don't come by seeing signs and wonders. It can stir your faith that you have when you see signs and wonders, but that's not how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We all like to see miracles. We all like to see the suddenlies. We like seeing God's hand moving in our midst, you know. These testimonies keep coming up. When they come up, I got to share them, even though I've shared them multiplied times. We were on Anahuitoc. We were told not to go to Anahuitoc because that's where detonated a atom bomb and sunk a bunch of ships over there testing it. And it was still radioactive up there. And God tells me, go to Anahuitoc. And everyone, all the Marshallese and all the missionaries said, you don't want to go to Anahuitoc. I said, God said, go to Anahuitoc. And he said, well, it's radioactive up there. That means the fish that they're going to serve you is going to be radioactive and everything around there. And nobody lives there except two Americans that keep the power plant. It used to be this big airstrip during the war. And so they had two Americans there that kept the power plant functional just in case war breaks out. The rest are just Marshallese, right? And when I say just, I'm not demeaning the Marshallese people. But they're natives. And so I said, well, God said go to Anahuitoc, and we're going. So me and Alberta, we went to Anahuitoc. And, you know, we get to Anahuitoc, we're having meetings and miracles are popping. And this lady, we were in the church there, and this lady comes with this baby. And the baby there's nothing there. I mean, I'm looking at her out the door. They got the doors open, windows open. You know, it's not like everything's open air. And she's standing there holding her child, and she's crying. And that child, little legs and arms are just hanging. The head's hanging. There's nothing there. Nothing going on. And in the islands, they have what they call the fever. And when that fever hits, most of the kids don't live past one. And so they really celebrate that one-year birthday because that's when they made it, so to speak, right? And so there's that child, and she won't come in the church because she's a sinner. And she thinks if she comes in that church that, God going to do something to her. And so the interpreter, I said, what's that woman doing back there? And so he sends somebody back there and comes back and says, baby's dying. And she heard that the white man here and that God's doing miracles. And I said, tell her to bring the child in. She don't want to come in. Tell her, I said, it's all right. So she comes in. She's holding this baby. And this baby looks lifeless. Lifeless. And I look at this child. And I'm like, I'm waiting for God to say something. He's not saying nothing. And so I go to put my hand on the child's forehead. And the child is burning up. I mean, on fire. And Alberta takes her little hand, picks her little hand up, and she says to me, Philip, she's on fire. I said, I know, huh? And I did not know what to do. And I just stroked her forehead. Jesus. Jesus. And when I said it the third time, I'm telling you, the fever jumped into my hand. That child opened up her eyes, started moving everything. Mama put her down. She took out running. Mama got saved. That's the kind of power that we're talking about. We're talking about the God that created the universe. Come on, somebody. He ain't got no problem fixing your shoulder, your knee, your ears, your eyes. Come on. He has no problem doing it. Hallelujah. Okay, are you in John? Chapter 4. Come. He's at the point of death. Then, verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down before my child dies, ere my child dies. You see that? Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, Psalms 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. Right? So he tells the nobleman, go your way. Your son liveth. Now, this is not how the nobleman thought it was going to happen. And I'm here to tell you, you never know how God's going to do it. See, you just don't know. We were in Massachusetts, and a lady, we have an RVN concert, and this lady comes up in the healing line, and she drove quite a distance and said, I believe when you lay your hands on me, I will be healed. I've come all this way. And now see, this is where she was at. This was her point of contact. This is where her faith was. Right? I said, what's wrong with you? She had a list. I said, my goodness. Hallelujah. You know, we're not just talking about one thing. And I laid hands, and I said, are you ready? She said, yeah. I laid hands on her. Boom. Power of God knocked her backwards underneath the chairs. She got up a few minutes later, laid hands on her again. God totally, totally healed that woman. Come on now. Come on now. And she was testifying. And the next day we were in another church. And she's there. And I thought to myself, well, it's a good way to get the miracle service going by her testifying. And so I told her, I said, testify. And she said, look at this. And she's moving over her back and all this stuff and all this, you know, she's just saying. And there's a guy sitting beside her, got these sticks. And, you know, I'm preaching along about like I'm doing now. And the power of God hits the place. And I start calling people out. And I'm getting under the anointing big time. And I walk back. And I start to lose my balance, and I did this to a guy to catch myself, and when I take my hand off him, he falls out, and his shoulder's healed, right? Are you following that? Right? But here goes this guy on his sticks. I said, hey, where you going? And he lied. He said, I'm going to the bathroom. He was leaving. He told his wife, I've had enough of this. She's back there like this, worshiping the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Won't look at nobody. Thank you, Lord. I mean, if you've just been delivered what you've been delivered from the night before, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And I said, what's them sticks for? He said, an air conditioner fell on my head. You remember? An air conditioner fell on my head, and ever since then, I lose my balance. I can't keep equilibrium or something like that. And I said, well, you want to get healed? And before you know it, he gets healed. No more sticks. Matter of fact, we brought the sticks home here, didn't we? Right? Right? But then talking to her afterwards, I said, that's your husband? Yeah. And he told me, I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. And she said, I'm not. If you want to leave, you leave. I'm not leaving. And she told God, I will not leave this church until my husband is healed. And I just praise you. I just praise you. That's what she was doing. Hallelujah. I'm looking for some faith in here. I'm looking for some people that will just bless God, believe God. Not another little healing thing when pastor lays hands on me and, you know, maybe something will happen, maybe something. See, I ain't talking about that. See? We still ain't got to our text. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, verse 50, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, remember, the nobleman wanted Jesus to come to the house. So this miracle's not happening the way he had it figured out. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. The very words that Jesus said. Then the nobleman inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now I want to show you something in verse 52. Verse 52. Then inquired he of them the hour. When he what?
Began.
When he what?
Began
to amend. Now, we've taught this, that instantly he got healed. He did not. He began to amend. Only place in the Bible you'll find this. That's a Greek word. I'm gonna try to hit it. Komsoeron. Convalescent. Begin to amend. You know what a convalescent home is? That's a place of recovery. That's where a place where people are getting better. They're amending. This is the only place in the Word of God where amend is used. Now see, we're going to look at some other translations. I want you to understand that when Jesus said, thy son liveth, he did not just eyes pop open like the little baby in a miracle. He began to amend. The process had begun. Follow this. Because a lot of healings that are going to happen today is going to come through this amending. See, we have amendments to the Constitution. Those are things added, right? Those are things added to improve the initial constitution. Are you following this? And so the healing power always comes. We like instantaneous miracles. Somebody been having a pain in your eye. Just pain in your eye. That pain, you're never going to experience it again in Jesus' name. Just a real sharp aggravation from time to time. You'll not have that anymore. So this is the only place that this Greek word is used. Now, let me give you, before we go any further, the definition for convalescent. Convalescent. Recovering from sickness or debility. He began to amend. The fever broke, but he wasn't all the way whole yet. But it was working in him. Some of y'all, you got healed that way. Come on. Come on. You saw improvement. Are you following? Okay. And to convalesce, definition. Right underneath, there you go. To recover health and strength gradually after sickness or weakness. Now, this is what this word amend means. because we all like that instant, like when God gave me a new heart, when I blew my heart out in Kansas years ago. And when we got back home here for about 2 months, I'm having extreme pain in my chest, and the enemy would just try to put fear on me every time I'd get up to preach, that the preach would come on me and that I would just die right in front of everyone. But I had believed, me and Mama Alberta had gotten down on our knees in the hotel room, believed we received that damaged heart healed by the power of God. And so we're in a praise and worship service down in Lexington, and I couldn't lift my hands up any further than this because of the pain. And I said, you know what? Lord, I believed I received, and I'm going to shoot my hands up because you're my healer, and I'm not going to stay like this. And I shot my hands up, and right when the pastor said, there's somebody that you've been having a heart condition, and God has given you a new heart. Now listen, folks, I felt a hand go down inside my chest. You don't have to believe it. See, when I had that heart attack last year, they call it a heart attack. It was a vein attack. Heart was fine. I said the heart was fine. I just had a blocked vein. Are you following what I'm saying? And I felt a new heart go down inside me, and I was instantly healed. But I began to amend back in that hotel room. Somebody stay with me. See, are you following this? Okay. So, look at the definition for amend. To put right. To change or modify something for the better. Improve. To alter formally by modification, deletion, or addition. Like when you mend something. Right? Right? Okay. Do we see how this account, it's the only recorded account, but we know, remember Jesus and the 10 lepers? Remember that? They were healed as they went. Correct? It wasn't an instant miracle. They were healed as they put action to what Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll have an instant miracle. No, they shall recover. I'm not making any excuse for not having miracles. I want you that today your physical body is going to continue to amend. Some of you are in that process anyways, and God is ministering life and grace to you. Come on now. Hallelujah. Blood conditions are being healed right now. Some lady, you're having, you know, just menstrual cycles just been messed up. You're being healed of that in Jesus' name. All the cramping, all the sporadic bleeding and the going longer than it's supposed to. I don't know nothing about that. But I'm telling you, you're not going to have that anymore in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's important for somebody. Now, let's look at some other translations on John 4:52. Let's look at the King James 21. King James 21. Stay with me, media. There we go. Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to be healed. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. See, what happens in Christianity, people come up for healing, and if they didn't get an instant miracle, they say, well, I didn't get nothing. Healing always comes. Now, what came just got cut off because you said, I ain't getting nothing. Follow this. I want you to see. Because isn't it something how you got a headache and you can take a Tylenol and swallow it down, you know, I didn't get nothing. No, you know there's a process. You know something's happening. Come on now. Are you following? You don't sit there and, well, nothing happened there. No, you're willing to wait for it to have its work. Come on, somebody. You're willing to let it work. Hallelujah. See? So right there, he began to be healed. Look at the CEB translation. So he asked him at what time his son had started to get better. Started to get better. Just because, you had a word given to you, hands laid on you, or you believed you received yourself, or whatever the situation may be, understand that the moment you did that, it started. It started. Folks, I'm standing in front of you, having been raised from the dead 6 times. A month later, having colon surgery. Come on now. And last year at Easter time, I'm up here and, just enough strength to come on in here, right? And now here I am ministering healing. Come on. I didn't sit there and say, well, God, I ain't getting no miracle. I didn't do all that. Dr. Shirley himself said, Philip, I don't like to use this word miracle, but you it. And he's done hundreds of colon surgeries. See, I knew that God was amending. I knew that my recovery would be supernatural. I didn't rely on just natural. I listened to what they had to say. Took their medicine. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, right? But most of that's gone now, right? Come on now. Follow this. And I'm not, this ain't a faith statement. I feel sappy. Began to amend. When did it start? See? At the time that the word was released. Okay. Look at the Amplified. So he asked them at what time he began to get better. We just saw in the CEB, started to get better. When did he begin to get better? Now look at the RGT translation. Watch this. Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to what? Feel better. How you doing? Well, I'm feeling better. Well, that ought to be a sign. Your physical body is designed to heal. I mean, you cut your finger and you bandage it up and so on and so forth, and you're expecting that cut to be healed. Why? Because God has put in our physical bodies healing that just comes natural. And now I know there's people out there that has a rare thing that if they cut themselves, it won't heal, and they got to have, medical attention and so on and so forth. But they can be healed of that. I don't care how rare it is. But your body... How many of you have ever had the flu? Don't lie to me. Have you ever had the flu, right? Right? How many of you just toughed it out? Come on. You toughed it out. Why? Because you knew. You knew that if you just would buckle down, get you some orange juice or whatever, put your pajamas on, whatever, right? Sweat it out, whatever. Come on, somebody, right? You were in full expectation that wasn't going to kill you. Right? Well, where do you get that? See? Where do you get that? You get that from your mama who tucked you in and said, gave you a couple baby aspirins, Vicks VapoRub, Pepto-Bismol. Hallelujah. And then some home remedies. We won't get into that. Praise the Lord. And what would Mama do? She'd come in there, how you feeling today? And see, after you start recovering, you start lying. Because you was watching cartoons or whatever. I had recovered, and my mom was a volunteer nurse during the war, and so she knew some stuff, and I didn't want to go to school, so I'm gonna keep out of school as long as I can, and so she come in, stuck the thermometer in my mouth, and she left the room. And so I took that thermometer and held it up to the light bulb. And here she come in. I stuck that in. It's hot. So I'm trying to keep from it burning me. She come on, pulled that out, and she looked at it. She said, 107. You ought to be dead. Get up out of there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And off to school we went. But mom would say, how are you feeling? Now here's what's so important. I know we don't go by our feelings. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's times when you believed you received or had hands laid on you and it got worse. It looked like it went in the opposite direction. That does not stop what was released into your a physical body. See, it doesn't mean you didn't get nothing, or it's not working, or you didn't have enough faith. See, we're going to help you today. The ISV says it this way. So he asked them at what hour he had begun to recover. Are you seeing this account in a different light? Are you seeing it? Because I even taught it back in the day that, the boy got healed, boom, right when the word was said. But that's when it began. That's when he began to amend. See? And certainly there's we got all kinds of miracles, of instant miracles that Jesus healed them all, and so on and so forth. And we're not trying to negate the instant miracles. We're wanting to understand that no matter how your healing manifests, whether it's instant miracle or it's an amending moment of time, it's still miraculous. Are you following? Whether you had medical assistance or no medical assistance, right? The doctors can only do so much. I mean, they were having a time because the colon surgeons wanted to get in there and get that tumor out because I'm bleeding on the inside and they're having to keep giving me transfusions. And then the heart doctors are saying, no, we don't want you to do that because you cut into him, he's on blood thinners, he'll bleed out and die on the operating table. And they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then finally they call Dr. O. And Dr. O tells them, that man ain't going to die. If he was going to die, he done been dead. Go on, operate on him. So they did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't know none of that was going on until afterwards. They told me it was high risk afterwards. They didn't tell me nothing about before that. He said, do you understand those two surgeries back to back like that, you were at high risk. Now, see, that's their natural mind. Ain't no risk. Are you following what I'm getting at? Folks, when you know he's your healer and it's not iffy, it's not sometimes he does, sometimes he don't. I don't care how long it's been in your body. Just like with Jayon, he was born gasping for air. See? Are you following this? Ears are being healed. Glory be to God. Ears are being healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't have to call something out for healings to be moving in here. You can be sitting right where you are, and the healing power of God be moving through your body, and you feeling something going on. Just like the woman with the issue of blood felt in her body. See? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's Resurrection Life Sunday. March 31st. Remember 31? Miracle Bird. You need your body. I don't care how long you've been on this planet. You need your body. And you need your body strong. You need your body healthy. See, and Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed. He bore all of our sicknesses, carried all of our diseases. The easy translation says it this way. He asked them at what time did he start to get well. We already did that one. Right? No? Okay. Did he start to get well? Amen. All right, but this is where I want to get to. The Scofield translation. If you don't have a Scofield Bible and you're a student of the Word, I would encourage you to find one. You probably have to find a used one somewhere. I don't know that they make them anymore. They might. But Scofield, he has a good translation. But anyways, his translation of it is, then he inquired he of them the hour when he began to improve. When he began to improve. Now follow this. See, because there are times when you make a faith stand and you don't see no improvement until, boom, manifestation. There just is. And that doesn't mean that the power of God's not working in your physical body. When I had that 21-day bloody flux out on the mission field, and there was no improvement that was in the natural. Everything looked worse. I'm getting weaker and weaker, and losing blood big time. But then on that 21st day, I'm literally laying on the floor with my Bible right here, reading, by his stripes I'm healed. And I hear Alberta taking a shower go, And then she came in there about 5 minutes later. She said, honey, would God poke me in my body to show me a situation? I said, well, that's one way that the gifts can operate. I know ministers, and I've been used like that rarely, but all of a sudden they'll feel stiffness in their elbow, and they know it's God calling out something, and it's just enough to get their attention, and it goes. And she said, I was in the shower, and I felt this in my back. And I said, well, lay your hand, because I'm laying on my stomach, lay your hand right on my back, right where you felt that. And just as soon as she laid her hand on it, bam, instantly healed. Instantly healed. All the blood bleeding stopped. I was instantly hungry. All my energy was back. But see, 21 days earlier, I believed I received, and I wasn't seeing no improvement. Are you following what I'm saying? But here, we're talking about improvement can be a sign in the natural that something is working. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And it just dawned on me I had that on my foot, too.
Yeah. That was a different thing.
It just kept this thing. It started out as just a little something itching on my back, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. It was like a hole in my back, right? Now, I want to tell you, it went almost, 20 years?
Yeah.
And one night it was hurting so bad, and you could see I had a hole in my back, and the flesh around it was being eaten. It was cancer. And it was hurting so bad, I guess I was crying, because you said, honey, do you want me to take you to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And I went off on you.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's 20 years. I mean, that's a long time, and that thing kept getting worse. And I just spoke the word, never took medicine, never saw a doctor, because I believe the word of God. By his stripes, I was healed. So if I was healed, I still am healed, and it don't matter what the devil brings. So I it was really bad that night. And I said, no, you know, Jesus is the healer. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, it was so bad, so ugly, and hurt so bad down in the skin. My flesh was being eaten up and pain. And what was it? A matter of, I don't even remember. It was like all of a sudden it was gone. A
few days.
It was gone. And people have said to me, yeah, but it took 20 years. Yeah, I could have died after one. Or I could have died after, you know, 2 weeks of it. I could have died. But I stuck with it. I kept speaking the word. I kept believing the word. It didn't matter how long it took. I got my healing because my faith probably was not there. No matter how many times I've been healed, my faith had to really work with it because it kept getting uglier and more painful and more painful. People, either you believe God or you don't.
Now, we're not telling you to do that. See, that's a choice she made, right? Right? And I remember that night, she sat up in bed, and I'm looking at her back. I'm like, oh, Lord. I mean, it's an open wound. And she's in pain. And I said, look, hon, you want to go to the hospital and see a doctor? She turned around, man, them fiery eyes. And see, she wasn't speaking out of stubbornness, she was speaking from her faith. I've already been to the doctor. See? So there are different scenarios of how healing comes. We're here on Resurrection Life Sunday for you to mark eternity today. All right? The NET says it this way. So he asked him the time when his condition began to improve. Right? Improvement. The Weymouth translation, W-E-Y, says, so he inquired of them at what hour he had shown improvement. Yesterday about 7 o'clock. So we see here then that amending is part of the process. Both amending and instantaneous are miracles. I prayed for a blind man. What was that? I'm trying to remember what island we were on. And totally blind. And they asked me, would I go to his house and pray for him? So I did. And he was so blind, I mean, there was rats running around in his house. And I'm like, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. He couldn't see them. Couldn't do nothing about them anyways. And laid hands on him. And I said, what do you see? He said, I don't see nothing. And I explained to him, you know, how the healing power of God works, right? And left. And the next day he sends word. He said, I'm seeing light. And everything began to amend. Are you following what I'm saying? See, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for people and we got the testimony later. Right? Because signs follow. What I want you to get is that when I pray for you today, that healing always comes. If it's instant, wonderful. Wonderful. We live in this microwave world. We eat fast food and everything else. We like stuff fast. But the same healing power was released into you at that very moment. See? And so I had Tiffy. Well, let's go one more scripture, can we? Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Are you there? Acts 19, in verse number 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, I had, you know, you just can't do this whenever you want to. You have to listen to God. And yesterday, the Lord, early in prayer, just said prayer cloths. Let me have one of them. And what I did is got a hold of Tiff, and Tiff made up these prayer cloths, brought them over to the house. So from 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon to 9 o'clock last night, I got my hands on these. And I'm lifting them up in front of God from time to time. And every kind of affliction, every kind of sickness, every kind of disease, every kind of pain that I could think of, I'm calling it out. Are you following? And then this morning when I got up, I took all of them and put them right here. And that's how I prayed this morning, holding on to him. Now listen, Philip ain't the healer. Jesus is the healer. I'm just obeying what he's told me to do. So we're going to take communion here in a moment, right? And then when I pray for you, I'm going to give you this cloth that I've already prayed over. And I'm going to lay my hands on you, and you're going to take this cloth to mark this day. This is the day that you begin to amend, got healed, right? And some of you are in that process anyways. You believed you received. Are you following? And I'm going to add my faith to that. Are you following what's going on? So pass out communion, and we're going to take communion. Communion represents our covenant rite. This is our covenant right with God, that by two immutable things that it's impossible for God to lie, and by the blood sworn oath of Jesus. See, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that's what communion represents. It represents the blood and it represents the word. See, and, you know, God could have just said his word and that would have been good enough because he's God. He does not lie. But he sealed it by the blood of Jesus. So let's pass these out and hold them. We're all going to take them together. And we don't practice close communion in here. Want to participate, I would encourage you to. You're not going to go to hell because you're not a member of this church taking communion here. Hallelujah. That's a false doctrine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is this complicated? Hallelujah. Put heavenly sounds on back there, Donald, quietly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God's a covenant God, and He honors His covenant. And what we're doing on this Resurrection Life Sunday is we're putting Him into remembrance of His covenant. He said His covenant He would not break nor alter the thing that's gone out of His lips. So when covenant has been established between God and Jesus, He invites us to get involved in that covenant by partaking of what some people call the Lord's Supper. He said, do this in remembrance. Jesus made a covenant with Father God. And that covenant was, anyone that would enter into that covenant would have redemption from sin, sickness, and lack. Hallelujah. And so what we're doing, before I lay hands on you and release that prayer cloth to you, is we're letting God know we believe in His covenant. We believe it. And that this is the day. This is the day. Remember that? This is the day that your healing, whether you believed you received and you're this is a continuation. But I believe if you believe you received, you're about to get a booster shot today, because God put this whole meeting together. Are you following? It's not Pastor Philip coming up with, hey, let's do this on Resurrection Life Sunday. No, we followed the Spirit of God. So is it all been distributed, everyone? Okay. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You. And we come before You, putting You in remembrance about the covenant. Jesus, Your body was broken that ours could be made whole. And we thank You that You took every kind of sickness, every kind of disease, every kind of pain, doesn't matter how, whether people were born that way or self-inflicted or from war or a car wreck or life living on this planet makes no difference. You have provided healing. And in the name of Jesus, every area, even in our minds, soundness, in Jesus' name, we receive Your body broken that ours could be made whole. Go ahead and partake of that. Now, Lord, if that wasn't enough, You went and sealed it by pouring out Your blood for all of us. Not only at the cross, but on the mercy seat. And we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your mercy, Your healing mercy flowing through this place in Jesus' name. Thank You for it. And we're releasing our faith this morning that this is a done deal. Whatever the enemy has attacked our bodies with, or what we have done from an old sports injury or something that happened because of an accident on a job or whatever, however it came, whether it's generational and has been in the family. Boy, I hear that. Yes, Lord. That thing's going to be broke today in Jesus' mighty name. You're in another family. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, that this is sealed by the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. So be it, amen. Go ahead and take that. Now, let's move this pulpit and these beautiful flowers.